is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming to you live from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas, I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We are about an hour away from tip-off of Game 2 of the NBA Finals between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Indiana Pacers. We'll update you on the market as we get closer and closer to tip-off. Plus, we will preview the game with our best bets for not just the full game, but the prop markets and the derivative markets as well. We are almost underway at Yankee Stadium in the Bronx. Sunday Night Baseball between the Yankees and the Red Sox as the Bronx Bombers look to avenge a loss from yesterday when the Red Sox took care of business 10-7 over the Yankees. Earlier today in Major League Baseball, we had a tried and true system come through, and that was betting against the Rockies on the run line. The New York Mets handled their business in Colorado, finishing off a three-game sweep, 13-5. The result here in Sunday's game, as once again, the Rockies lose a game, and it is by more than one run. So Mets minus 1.5 does come through with the 13-5 rout over the Rockies. Elsewhere, it was the Mariners, a 3-2 win over the Angels. George Kirby striking out a career-high 14 batters in that one, snapping a streak of about 9 games in which pitchers had gone under their strikeout prop against the LA Angels. So Kirby with a big-time performance as the Mariners get a much-needed win, 3-2 over the Angels. The A's, a 5-1 win over the Orioles. Giants beat the Braves 4-3. It was the Dodgers, a 7-3 win over the Cardinals. Clayton Kershaw picking up his first W of the season. Twins double up the Blue Jays 6-3. The Royals beat the White Sox 7-5. Guardians, a 4-2 win over the Astros. Tigers blanked the Cubs 4-0. Cubs just 4 hits on the entire day. The Reds with a 4-2 win over the Diamondbacks. We talked about it yesterday. The Diamondbacks are a fade team. We want to fade them the rest of this season, and it paid out here as the Reds get the 4-2 win against Zach Gallen and the Diamondbacks. And elsewhere, Rangers a 4-2 win over the Nationals. Padres a 1-0 win over the Brewers. Rays a 3-2 win over the Marlins. And the Pirates beat the Phillies 2-1. Philadelphia now just one win in their last 10 games. They've dropped 5 straight. They are now trailing the Mets by 4.5 games in the National League East. And this was once again another gem pitched by Paul Skeens and another game in which he does not get run support. Skeens, 7 2/3 innings, 2 hits allowed, 1 run, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts, and he does not pick up the decision, lowers his ERA to 1.88 on the season. And there's no doubt in my mind that he is the favorite for the National League Cy Young Award. Like, he has been that good right now. Let's get you an update on that awards market in Major League Baseball. But again, you have to keep in mind, wins are not a pitcher stat. So you see his win-loss record, it doesn't matter. His dominance is showing on a day-in, day-out basis every time he's on the mound. And yes, he doesn't get run support. He's on a bad team. The Pirates don't score. But that doesn't mean he's not the best pitcher in the National League right now. Skeens is a minus 185 favorite to win the National League Cy Young Award. That's a bet I'd make right now, even at that price, because no one's been better than him right now in the National League. But we'll keep an eye on what's going on between the Yankees and the Red Sox once they get underway. Carlos Rodon is the pitcher for the Yankees, and Hunter Dobbins on the mound for the Red Sox. For Carlos Rodon, he has done something over his last 9 starts that no Yankee pitcher has ever done in their franchise history in a 9-game span in a single season. And that is have 70 or more strikeouts with 9 or fewer earned runs. This has been an incredible run for Carlos Rodon over, you know, a certain amount of starts here. So if we look here, a last start against Cleveland, 7 innings, 1 run, 8 strikeouts. Before that, against the Angels, 7 innings, no runs, 10 strikeouts. Against Texas, 6 innings, no runs, 8 strikeouts. Against the Mets, 5 innings, 1 run, 5 strikeouts. Against the A's, 6 innings, 4 runs, 10 strikeouts against San Diego, 6 2/3, no runs, 6 strikeouts. In the month of June, or in the month of May, I should say, 30 2/3 innings for Carlos Rodon, just 5 runs, and 4 of them came at the A's. So a game in Sacramento where every pitcher has complained about pitching on that mound. And also, we know the ball flies out of that ballpark. So it's not surprising to see that the worst start that Rodon has made came at Sacramento against the A's. But 5 runs, and now we can add the first start of June to this record here. 6 runs in his last 37 2/3 innings with 46 strikeouts in that span. Carlos Rodon is pitching like the guy that the Yankees thought they were getting when they signed him. He's been that good. He's been Cy Young candidate worthy, especially in this little run here. But for the entire season, he's been great. 8-3 with a 2.49 ERA, a 0.93 whip. And this is a guy I want to back here tonight against the Red Sox. And yes, the Red Sox offense did break out of a little, you want to call it a slump. I mean, they broke out here against the Yankees scoring 10 runs. And they have scored as of late. I mean, 6 runs against the Yankees in the loss in the first game of the series, 11 runs against the Angels before that. So the Red Sox offense that was missing Alex Bregman and was struggling has all of a sudden picked it up. Still, I don't like this lineup here in this game against Carlos Rodon. So you can look at the market right now and you can say, you know what, I like the Yankees and I can, they're massive favorites, -245. I don't mind laying a run line on the Yankees. -1.5 is -116 up on DraftKings. Your first 5 innings, if you just want to back Rodon here against Hunter Dobbins, Yankees are -240 or so for the first 5 innings. But if you want to do the run line in the first 5 innings, that might be the better way to go. Yankees -0.5 a run, first 5 innings, -154. I also think Aaron Judge breaks out tonight because he was held quiet in yesterday's game against Garrett Crochet. I think he'll have more success here against Hunter Dobbins. I'd go Aaron Judge over his props. So you look at the maybe hits plus runs plus RBIs or just a total bases prop for Aaron Judge, I would go over. Judge total bases over 1.5 is pretty much even money right now. And let's see, hits plus runs plus RBIs over 2.5 +130 for Aaron Judge. If you want to lay the juice on the over 1.5 hits plus runs plus RBIs, it's -150. I mean, that's a great bet. I like that a lot, actually. In fact, let's give out 2 best bets here. Right now up on DraftKings Sportsbook, you can get Aaron Judge 2 plus hits plus runs plus RBIs. So that's basically over 1.5 hits plus runs plus RBIs -150. That's a bet we're making. And if we want to go total bases on Aaron Judge, over 1.5. So on DraftKings, it's 2 plus even money. 2 bets I'd make on Aaron Judge right now for this game against Hunter Dobbins and the Boston Red Sox as they will get underway shortly there in the Bronx. For Dobbins, if you look at his numbers against the Yankees, hasn't faced any of these guys. And that can go one of 2 ways. Yankees hitters could not know what to expect, and they could fail. They could not have success. Or the kid could get rocked. It's one of 2 things that happens when a pitcher faces a team for the first time. It's either the pitcher has the advantage and the batters don't know what to expect, he goes out and throws a gem, or the scouting report's there, the players are prepared, the pitcher's not exactly ready to figure out how to get certain guys out because he hasn't faced them before, and he winds up getting rocked. Now for my Yankees bets, I hope he gets rocked here. So that's the best bets that we're going with for this game, Yankees and the Red Sox. We like the Yankees in the first 5 innings. We're going to back Carlos Rodon here. And for Aaron Judge, props on Judge, we're going to go with the over 1.5 total bases. That's at even money. And we're going to go over 1.5 hits plus runs plus RBIs at minus 150 as the Yankees take the field, and we will get underway. Sunday night baseball from the Bronx, the Yankees and the Red Sox. Will track all the live betting opportunities as we progress throughout this game. I'm Scott Seidenberg. You can hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Going to preview game number two of the NBA Finals coming up in Oklahoma City between the Thunder and the Pacers. Checking out the market right now. OKC, 11.5-point favorites across the board. We haven't had an adjustment on that. It's 11.5, and actually, the -11.5, minus 115 here at Circa. Total, we've had some movement. Circa is down to 228. Other books are at 228.5 for the total for this game tonight. Prior to the show, now you guys already know I have best bets on this game. I've given them out. I'm going to repeat them. We're going to attack the first quarter. I'll give you all the trends and all the numbers, why that applies coming up. But I also just built a same game parlay for this game tonight that is 150-1. That's right. The odds of this same game parlay are 150-1. Now, I'm not going to sit here and recommend to everybody you play 150-1 bet. But I will say this, and I tweeted this out at Scott's On Air. I think this might be the most live 150-1 same game parlay that I've ever built. I'll explain what the picks are coming up next. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you. It is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir and at VSiN Live. I teased out before the break that I, in my opinion, have built the most live 150-1 same game parlay I think I've ever seen. And when I say live, I mean that it's not, obviously, it's 150-1. It's not a lock to happen. But when I say live, I mean, like, there's a path that this happens. When I read you these legs of this same game parlay, you're going to think to yourself, that's not crazy. Like, this could play out this way. This game could play out this way. Let me break it down for you. First off, I'm going to repeat my best bet of best bets for this game. Is attacking the first quarter. It's something that I've been on. We talked about it all throughout the week here after the game. When the home team loses game one of a playoff series, in game number two, the edge is in the first quarter. But it's not just that these teams are winning the first quarter. The biggest factor in why they're dominating the first quarter of the game number two is because they lock it down defensively. In these playoffs, we've had seven games already where the home team has lost game number one. And in game number two, they're outscoring their opponents 31-17 in the first quarter. If you go back to the 2021 playoffs, so the past several years since post-COVID, home team loses game one. In game number two, they outscore their opponents 29-23 in the first quarter. And what have we seen in this playoffs specifically with the two teams that are playing tonight in the finals? The Pacers win game number one in Cleveland. Game number two, they score 15 points in the first quarter. Pacers win game number one in New York. Game number two, they scored 24 points, but they still went under their team total in the first quarter, and they lost the first quarter. And then for the Thunder, losing game one at home to the Nuggets in game number two, dominate the first quarter 45-21. So, the best bet for me is the Pacers team total under in the first quarter. That's my best bet of this game. Pacers team total under 25.5 in the first quarter. If your book has 26.5, more power to you. That's even better. DraftKings has under 25.5 minus 105. But here's where things get interesting. And this is where I built this same game parlay. If we look at the numbers and we see that these teams in this postseason are averaging only 17 points in the first quarter. We go back to 2021. These teams are averaging only 23 points in the first quarter. And I mentioned the theory. It's because the home team that lost game one comes out with a defensive intensity in game number two. And we already know the Thunder defense is incredible. And we know what they're capable of doing on a night-in, night-out basis. So I'm already fading the Pacers team total in the first quarter. And oh, by the way, they only scored 20 in the first quarter in game number one. So leg number one of the 150-1 same game parlay is not just the Pacers under their team total in the first quarter. I'm going under an alternate team total. Pacers team total under 22.5 points in the first quarter. Leg number one. Now, correlated with that, I'm laying the 4.5 points on the Thunder in the first quarter. That's leg number two. And again, this seems like it could happen, right? After all, this exact scenario happened in game number one. The Thunder beat the Pacers in the first quarter 29-20. If that happens again, the first two legs of this same game parlay cash. We go under an alternate total for Pacers team total of 22.5 and Thunder minus 4.5 of the first quarter. That is legs one and two. Leg number three, just like I'm going under the team total for the Pacers in the first quarter, I'm going to go under their team total in the first half. If I think they're going to have a low scoring first quarter, it's going to lead to a low scoring first half. But I'm not just going to go under their regular team total. I'm going to go an alternate team total under. Under 46.5 points for the Pacers in the first half. Once again, this played out in game number one. They only scored 45 points in the first half in game number one. If they do that again, this is a winner. And just like we did in the first quarter, as a correlated play on that, like we laid the minus 4.5 in the first quarter, we're going to lay the minus 8.5 for the Thunder in the first half. You guys following along with me right now? This doesn't seem crazy, right? So leg number one, Pacers team total first quarter under 22.5, little alternate price. Leg number two, Thunder minus 4.5 first quarter. Leg number three, Pacers team total under 46.5 in the first half. Little alternate under. Leg number four, Thunder minus 8.5 for the first half. By the way, we interrupt this same game parlay to tell you that we have cashed our best bets on the Yankee game already in the first inning. Aaron Judge just hit a 2-run home run, I believe. So the Yankees have taken a 2-0 lead over the Boston Red Sox. Aaron Judge goes over his total bases. Aaron Judge goes over his hits plus runs plus RBIs. Cash it. We're already profitable here on Live Bet Sunday. Now, let's get back to the same game parlay. Now we're just playing with house money here. Let's get back to the same game parlay. Again, leg one, Pacers alternate team total under 22.5 first quarter. Leg two, Thunder minus 4.5 first quarter. Leg three, Pacers team total under alternate minus under 46.5. Alternate team total under first half. Thunder minus 8.5 first half. Those are your first four legs. Leg number five. If the Pacers have a low scoring game, low scoring first quarter, low scoring first half, I do not believe they have the same type of effort in the second half in game number two that they did in game number one. And so I'm going to go under an alternate total for the Pacers team total for the full game. Let's go under 98.5 points for the full game for the Indiana Pacers. And if we look at the seven games in this postseason where the home team has lost game number one, in game number two, the visiting team is averaging 100 points per game. And the highest scoring team in that role was the Indiana Pacers, who scored 120 in that game two against the Cavs. After only 15 points in the first quarter, they still scored 120 for the game. But you had the Timberwolves, 85 points. Warriors, 94 points. Knicks, 91 points. Warriors, 93 points. Pacers did go over with a 114. Pacers did go over with a 120. Nuggets did go over with the 106. That was the 149-106 game. Crazy game. But we're going to go with the alternate under 98.5. And the belief is, if this is a runaway game, a blowout game, maybe the Pacers don't, you know, play starters in the fourth quarter. They're already thinking ahead to game number three. They got what they came for, which was a split of the first two games in Oklahoma City. Now, to round out the same game parlay, and this is why we get 150-1 on this, we do Shai Gilgeous-Alexander alternate point total. We want SGA to score 40 points in this game. Scored 38 in game number one. Can I get 40 in game number two? He only shot 8 free throws in game number one. He's going to get to the free throw line a lot more here in game number two, whether it's by his effort or the refs just blowing a whistle more. He's going to shoot 15 or so, maybe 16 free throws in this game, maybe more. And then the final leg, Isaiah Hartenstein, 10 rebounds. He had 9 in game number one, and he's going to play more minutes here in game number two. So your 7-leg, 150-1 same game parlay, which I think is not crazy. Pacers under 22.5 first quarter. Thunder minus 4.5 first quarter. Pacers under 46.5 first half. Thunder minus 8.5 first half. Pacers under 98.5 for the game. SGA 40 points. Isaiah Hartenstein 10 rebounds. Tell me I'm crazy. Look, it's 150-1, okay? I'm not recommending this as a best bet. I'm just saying, I feel like this might be the most live 150-1 bet I've ever built. Hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums, earned cash back rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code LIVE. Deposit $25. Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. More prop bets coming up next with Sam Shadouri of FTN joining me, Scott Seidenberg, here on Live Bet Sunday on VSiN.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you. It is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the sports betting network. As we are in the top of the second inning in the Bronx, the Yankees with that 2-0 lead thanks to the Aaron Judge 2-run home run. As they have that early lead, Carlos Rodon, meanwhile, mowing them down to start this game as he continues to look just as incredible as he has over the past month or so. So taking a look at the live line right now for this game, the Yankees, who are heavy favorites coming in, are now minus 880 for the game. The live run line is minus 3.5. Live total is at 8.5 between these two teams. Joining us now to talk more about the NBA Finals, game number two, is Sam Shadouri from FTN Fantasy. We'll get some prop bets from Sam, get his thoughts overall on the game. Thanks so much for joining us here on Live Bet Sunday, Sam. First off, before we get to the prop bets, what's your thoughts overall on where we stand here going into game number two? Market obviously adjusting, and we're seeing the Thunder 11.5 point favorites, the total now at 228 to 228.5.
Yeah, it's funny that you say the market's finally adjusting. You know, Indiana pulls off a miracle with a game winner, and then somehow OKC is even a bigger favorite in game two, which, I mean, I agree with. I mean, I actually don't have a play on any of the side, but I do think that OKC will cover and come out hot in this game. I mean, I feel like I can't really even pick any holes from game one. I mean, they were controlling that game from start to finish, and then the Indiana Magic, it's like we've seen all postseason long. So I do think it's an accurate line, 11.5 at home. But I just find it ironic that the line moves even more in OKC's favor after losing game one. But I think Vegas has it right in this one.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'm on the Thunder in the first quarter. My best bet is actually attacking the Indiana Pacers, going with their team total under in the first quarter. And if we just look at the history of teams in this situation, Sam, where the home team loses game number one of a playoff series, in game number two, they dominate the first quarter. In the seven games that it's happened in this postseason, outscoring their opponents 31-17 in the first quarter. Is that an angle you like to attack?
Yeah, I do. And tip my cap to you. I remember you had me convinced on taking Minnesota in the first quarter against this OKC team going home. And I always feel uncomfortable betting against OKC. So I like betting on OKC in this one. But yeah, I think I got to tail you on these first quarter props, because that last time it cruised. So I'm with you. And like I said, I do think that OKC is going to come out hot. I do think that they're going to dominate from start to finish this time. They were dominant all of last game. I mean, that game didn't seem close whatsoever until maybe the last minute or so. So I do like that angle a lot.
From an OKC perspective, what changes do you expect them to make, whether it's in their starting lineup or in their rotations, based on what happened in game number one?
Yeah, I think it sort of caught everyone off guard that when they made the lineup decision, when it came out, they moved Hardenstein to the bench in favor of Kayson Wallace. And I don't really know what the game plan was. You know, I figured that you've been the best team in the NBA all season, all throughout the postseason. So I didn't really understand what the thought process was going, changing the lineup. But again, I can't really pick any qualms about it, because OKC was dominating this game from start to finish. But Kayson Wallace is definitely a guy that I want to fade in this one. I actually had some unders of him game one, and I want to hit the same under here. One of my favorite props is Kayson Wallace under 3.5 rebounds. Like I said, this was a play that I had last game, and I was kind of sweating when I saw him bump to the starting lineup. And I understand that maybe you're worried about the pick and roll with Hardenstein, but three of the five OKC stars were minus on the game. The only positive guys were Shea and Chet. And Chet, you know, Chet got his minutes cut down a lot. He had a lot of trouble finishing at the rim against Miles Turner, which is to be expected. But overall, he was 2-for-8 at the rim, played just 23 minutes and 30 seconds. So I think we're going to see a lot more of the same, which is why I want to cut down on Kayson Wallace. He played 33 minutes in game one and was a team worst minus 13 in the game. But regardless, even if he were to get an uptick in minutes, he finished with two boards the last game. So I'm kind of shocked that we're getting this 3.5 rebounds line. You look at him on the season, he's under this line in 53 out of 87 games overall. And at home, he's actually been worse under this line in 29 out of 46 games, averaging just 3.1 rebounds per game. And in his career, it's only a five-game sample size. He's never hit this line against Indiana. So I do think that we're going to see a lot more Hardenstein. I do think we're going to see a lot more Chet Holmgren. I thought it was kind of wonky that they would cut him off that much after, you know, just a poor shooting performance. So all in all, I like backing Chet and Hardenstein both in this game and fading Kayson.
I love backing Hardenstein. I mean, I talked about it in the crazy same-game parlay that I was building, just looking at all of the angles that I love in this game, whether it's attacking the Pacers team total to go under. But also an aspect that I love is Isaiah Hartenstein, which is why, you know, I'm already on his points, rebounds, and assists to go over, but I like playing alternates. So I would go an alternate. Right now you can get north of plus 250 on Hartenstein to have 10 rebounds. I don't think that's crazy. He had 9 in the first game, and he didn't play that much. He's going to play more minutes in this game tonight. So I love going with Isaiah Hartenstein props here and even attacking this alternate market.
Yeah, I mean, 9 rebounds in 17 minutes all throughout the postseason. I mean, his line would be set at 9.5, even money on both sides. So I absolutely love that play. And I mean, in a few minutes, if we get Hardenstein back in the lineup, his rebound line is probably going to be 8.5. I mean, it could close at 9.5, you know, if he's back in the starting lineup. Again, 9 boards in 17 minutes. If he gets in the starting lineup, you got to project him for probably close to low to mid 20s. And I think he'd be a lock to get almost 10 boards there. So I really like that play. I do like the PRA angle that you're taking. We saw a hot shooting performance. Again, in 17 minutes, he was 3-for-3 on the line, 3-for-5 overall in the game. So I really love that play. And I think this is only going to move into your favor if we get a change in the starting lineup, which, again, is kind of sort of something that I am expecting, hence underweight position on Kaysen Wallace and directly correlated on going over on Hartenstein. So, yeah, I love that play.
Sam Shadori, betting analyst for FTN Fantasy, joining me, Scott Seidenberg, on the Progressive Guest Line. It is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN. What bench players, or maybe bench is a bad way of putting it, what role players, Sam, do you expect to contribute here in a big way? And maybe we can look to attack them in the prop market.
I think as far as I can't really make much of the OKC bench. I do expect Obi Toppin to continue to get more run. I mean, I don't expect him to shoot 6-for-9 from the field, 5-for-8 from 3-point. But actually, see, Toppin is a guy that I'm also fading in this game. When you get these outlier performances, the first thing I want to do is I want to look at their lines, see where they opened up at, because at first you're going to get an inflated number before it adjusts. I think I want to say Toppin opened up at an 11.5 point prop, which is crazy. I mean, if you're looking at the prop market diligently, you know this guy's points has been around that 6.5, sometimes maybe 7.5 all throughout the postseason. But I actually, even though I do expect him to continue to see an uptick in minutes, because every series since the start of the postseason, he has slowly seen a rise in minutes. Instead of attacking the scoring, I like going under his rebounds and assists. 6.5 rebounds and assists under is -145 on 365 in ESPN bet. Again, he's been a role player all throughout the regular season. And even though he is getting more run in the postseason, he's under this mark overall in 65 out of 96 games. So about 68%. When you have both Miles Turner and Aaron Nesmith active, he's under this line in a little over 70% of games. So I do like attacking the rebounds and assists angle rather than the scoring, because even though I do think that he is going to get more minutes, I think all of his lines are inflated across the board. Just because if he's not shooting, again, 5-for-8 from three, I think it'll be more in that mid, maybe 20, maybe 20, closer to 18-ish minutes. So even though I do think he is going to play a big part in this series, I still do like fading him in the spot.
I know it's, we always look for unders when we're looking for, to really take advantage of some inflated lines here. And Shea's point prop is inflated, but he scored 38 in game number one, and he only shot 8 free throws. I got to imagine he gets to the free throw line more tonight. Do we expect a big time scoring performance once again from the MVP?
I do, yeah. And it just, when you get in the mid-30s, it's kind of uncomfortable, but there's no way I'm fading Shea in this spot. I do like looking at his, like you said, I think OKC is going to come out hot in the first quarter. The only line that isn't really inflated is his first quarter points prop, sitting at 9.5 most places.
Ooh.
Even if you can get 10.5 at plus money, I think that's fine. He's one of those guys that plays almost the entire first quarter. So I think that's my favorite way to back Shea, is just, like you said, attack the first quarter and keep backing OKC there.
Ooh, 10 points, -130 on DraftKings, 11, +110 for Shea in the first quarter. Sam, appreciate the time and the insight. Good luck with your bets. Enjoy the game tonight.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
There he is, Sam Shadori. Check him out. FTN Fantasy joined us there on the Progressive Guest Line. I do like that a lot, actually. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, first quarter points. Yeah, 10 points in the first quarter from Shea. I can see it happening very easily. We'll update you on what's going on in the Bronx between the Yankees and the Red Sox coming up. Plus, our final thoughts on game number two as we're about 20 minutes or so away from tip-off in OKC. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Seidenberg on VSiN, the sports betting network. Always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Send me your tweets. We'll contribute to the show. Have some people asking about the crazy parlay here. And Jesse tweeting at me, hating on the 7-game parlay. I mean, okay, dude, it's this isn't like a best bet here. This isn't a massive play. When people say pizza money, I even say pizza money's too much. Pizza costs too much these days. I call it coffee money. Like, go put a little coffee money on this. my premise behind building a same game parlay like this is not to recommend this to be a bet for you guys. If you want to bet it, go right ahead. I'll never tell anybody what to do with their money. To me, I'm giving you every angle that I like on this game. My best bet for this game, and I've said it multiple times, is the Pacers team total to go under in the first quarter. To that end, and looking at the history of the games that have been played in this exact situation, the reason why we're fading the Indiana Pacers is these teams, not only are they going under their team total in the first quarter, but they're scoring only 17 points in the first quarter. The Pacers scored 20 points in the first quarter of game number one. So it's not a crazy recommendation or a crazy idea to say, my best bet is Pacers under 25.5 in the first quarter, but I also might put a little bit on Pacers alternate team total to go under, where you can get 22.5 points and get plus 250 odds on that. You can look throughout DraftKings and look at the other alternate options. Pacers under 20.5. They only scored 20 in the first quarter of game number one. If they do that again, you can get a pretty fat plus money price on playing an alternate under. Those are angles that you can look to make money on this game. Am I recommending that you go out there and you put your entire bankroll on Pacers under 14.5 points in the first quarter? No. But think about this. Under 20.5 is plus 378. If you did that in game number one, you cashed it. Congratulations. Keep cashing plus 378. You're doing pretty good for yourself. So, best bet for me, under 25.5. That's at minus 105. That's a standard best bet. If you want a little plus money chase, and it's called a chase for a reason, sprinkle a little bit on some of these alternates. And I got creative, and I built a little same game parlay at 150-1 odds. I put a couple bucks on it. See what happens. Stranger things have happened. Am I making a living betting 150-1 parlays? Absolutely not. Am I coming here on VSiN and telling you that this is the recommendation of all recommendations and you should look me in the eye and this should be the bet that you place every single night? No. This is a fun way to attack all of the angles that I love in this game. When I look at the same game parlay like that I'm building, it's because I can see a path for each one of those bets to hit. And if all you wanted to do was just bet them individually, cool. Because that's something I'm doing. I'm already betting the Pacers team total to go under. Under in the first quarter. I'm going to look under in the first half. I'm going to look thunder in the first half. I'm on Isaiah Hartenstein props to go over. Why not play an alternate over 10 rebounds? Little plus 250 price right there. Why not take a look at SGA, who scored 38 points in game number one on only 8 free throw attempts? I think he gets to the free throw line a lot more than that. I think there's a chance that he could score 40 points in this game. Plus 250 on Shea to score 40 points in this game. Again, these are plus money bets. These are flyers. These are sprinkles, as they say. These aren't full units, multi-unit best bets. These are ways to attack the game and find areas in the market that you can manipulate. If you have a good read on something, there are ways to make money betting those angles. This is one way to look at an alternate price market. So, if my best bet is on the Pacers to go under 25.5 in the first quarter, and I'm telling you the numbers of all the teams that have been in this role have only scored 17 points in the first quarter on average, I might look to attack this. That's all. I might look to attack the angle here. You can look at the alternates. DK's got a bunch of them. Cole, he was got a bunch of them. It's great ways to make money here in this game. I think the Thunder start out hot. I think the Thunder, the wire-to-wire bet is something that I placed in game number one. I lost it with 0.3 seconds left. Go figure. But they dominated the first quarter. They dominated the first half. They had a 15-point lead going into 15 points in the fourth quarter. They had a 15-point lead in the fourth quarter. They let it slip away. The Thunder are too good to let that happen again. And the more times I play this game over in my head, the more times I see it as a, I see it as a wire-to-wire game. I just don't see this being a close game. Because game one wasn't a close game. And you know something, like, could we have close games throughout the rest of this series? Absolutely. I mean, the Pacers deserve respect, too. I'm not just sitting here going, okay, see this, okay, see that, okay, see this, okay, say that, okay, see that. I'm saying that from what we saw in game number one, I think this is the way game number two plays out. More times than not, it's an Oklahoma City blowout here in game number two. They're 11.5 points favorites for a reason. The market has adjusted, knowing how profitable the zigzag has been. The market has adjusted from 9.5 point favorites in game number one to 11.5 point favorites in game number two. And the halftime markets and the quarter markets have adjusted as well. First quarter, Thunder, 4.5 point favorites. First half, Thunder, 8 point favorites. The Thunder were 5.5 point favorites in game number one in the first half. The games, think about this. Think about that. The Oklahoma City Thunder were -5 to -5.5 in the first half of game number one. They win, they cover. We had great numbers on that with the trends, historical trends, with the heavy favorites, with the long layoff, all that stuff. They cover that first half. 5 to 5.5 point favorites. The line in the game from game number one to game number two adjusts from 9.5 to 11.5. Now, I'm not the best at math, but 11.5, that's a 2-point adjustment on the point spread for the full game, from 9.5 point favorites to 11.5 point favorites. You guys are following me, right? 2-point adjustment for the full game price. We have a 3-point adjustment on the first half line. If that's not a tax, I don't know what is. My goodness. They were 5 to 5.5 point favorites in the first half in game number one. They're 8 to 8.5 point favorites in the first half here in game number two. A 2-point adjustment in the full game spread. A 3-point adjustment in the first half. Why? Because that is how dominant the zigzag has been. That is how profitable the home teams coming off of a game one loss has been in game number two. These teams in this situation come out like gangbusters in the first quarter and the first half. Winning the first quarter, as I mentioned, 31-17. Winning the first half, let's see, 20, it's even in the second quarter, actually. It's like 30 to 29, so it's like 1 point in the second half. But we're still talking about a double-digit lead in the first half for these teams in this situation. It's just a great spot for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Coming up next, we're going to give you some best bets from other VSiN contributors. We'll update you on the NBA Killer Sports Challenge. Shout out Killer Sports, because that's where we're getting a lot of these lines from, a lot of these trends from here. So we'll tell you what's going on in that contest with Game 2 coming up here at the top of the hour. If you want to know where the real money is going, you got to check out the betting splits, because here at VSiN, our betting splits come straight from DraftKings and Circa Sportsbooks. You can see the percentage of bets versus the percentage of handle on every game across every major sport. Right now, you can get them for as little as $9.99 for your first month at vsin.com/subscribe.